Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So reading from the fourth canto, chapter 30, the activities of the Prajetas, text of 41. Manu Swayambhur Bhagavan Bhava Cha Ye Anye Tapa Jnana Vishuddha Sattva Adrishta Para Api Yat Mahimna Stuvanti Ata Twa Atma Samam Grinima Manu Swayambhur Bhagavan Bhavascha Yanye Tapa Jnana Vishuddha Sattva Adrishta Para Api Yan Mahimna Stuvant Yato Tvatma Samam Grinima Manak Swayambhur Bhagavan Bhavascha Yanye Tapa Jnana Vishuddha Sattva Adrishta Para Api Yan Mahimna Stuvant Yato Tvatma Samam Grinima. Manu Swayambhur Bhagavan Vavascha Manu Swayambhuva Manu Swayambhu Lord Brahma Bhagavan the most powerful Bhava Lord Shiva Cha also Ye who Anye others, tapa, by austerity, jnana, by knowledge, vishuddha, pure, sattva, whose existence, adrishta para, who cannot see the end, api, although, yet, your, Mahimna of glories, Stuvanti, they offer prayers, Ato, therefore, Twa, unto you. Atma Samam, according to capacity. Grinima, we offer prayers. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Dear Lord, even great yogis and mystics who are very much advanced by virtue of austerities and knowledge and who have completely situated themselves in pure existence, as well as great personalities like Manu, Lord Brahma, and Lord Shiva, cannot fully understand your glories and potencies. Nonetheless, they have offered their prayers according to their own capacities. In the same way, we, although much lower than these personalities, also offer our prayers according to our own capacity. Please repeat, my dear Lord, even great yogis and mystics who are very much advanced by virtue of austerities and knowledge, and who have completely situated themselves in pure existence, as well as great personalities like Manu, Lord Brahma, and Lord Shiva, cannot fully understand your glories and potencies. Nonetheless, they have offered their prayers according to their own capacities. In the same way, we, although much lower than these personalities, also offer our prayers according to our own capacity. What's that? Capability, I'm sorry. Capability. In the room. 422. Purport. Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, Manu, the father of mankind, great saintly persons, and also great sages who have elevated themselves to the transcendental platform through austerities and penance, as well as devotional service, are imperfect in knowing and knowledge compared to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is the case with anyone within this material world. No one could be equal to the Supreme Lord in anything, certainly not in knowledge. Consequently, anyone's prayer to the Supreme Personality of Godhead is never complete. It is not possible to measure complete glories of the Supreme Lord, who is unlimited. Even the Lord himself in his incarnation as Ananta or Shesha cannot describe his own glories. Although Ananta has many thousands of faces and has been glorifying the Lord for many, many years, he could not find the limit of the glories of the Lord. Thus, it is not possible to estimate the complete potencies and glories of the Supreme Lord. Nonetheless, everyone in devotional service can offer essential prayers to the Lord. Everyone is situated in a relative position, and no one is perfect in glorifying the Lord. Beginning with Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva down to ourselves, everyone is the servant of the Supreme Lord. We are all situated in relative positions according to our own karma. And every one of us can offer prayers with heart and soul as far as we can appreciate the Lord's glories. That is our own perfection. Even when one is in the darkest region of existence, he is allowed to offer prayers to the Lord according to his own capacity. The Lord therefore says in the Bhagavad Gita 9:32, Mam hi partha vyapashitya yepi supapayonaya striyo vaishas tatasudras tepi yanti paramgati. O son of Pritha, those who take shelter in me, though they be of lower birth, women, vaishyas, merchants, as well as Shudra's workers, can approach the supreme destination. If one seriously accepts the lotus feet of the Lord, he is purified by the grace of the Lord and by the grace of the Lord's activity of the Lord's servant. That is confirmed by Shukadeva Goswami, Dhyanye Tapapa Yadapashraya Shraya Shudyanti Tasmai Prabhavishnave Namaha, the Bhagavatam 2.4.18. One who is brought under the lotus feet of the Lord by the endeavor of the Lord's servant, the spiritual master, is certainly immediately purified, however low-born he may be. He becomes eligible to return home back to Godhead. So the text again. Manu svayambhura bhagavan bhavascha yanye tapao jnana vishuddha sattva adrishtapara yapi yanmahimna stuvantyato tvatma samam grinima. Dear Lord, even great yogis and mystics who are very much advanced by virtue of austerities and knowledge, and who have completely situated themselves in pure existence, as well as great personalities like Manu, Lord Brahma, and Lord Shiva, cannot fully understand your glories and potencies. Nonetheless, they have offered their prayers according to their own capacities. In the same way, we, although much lower than these personalities, also offer our prayers according to our own capability. Om Vishnu Vraya Krishna Pristaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Viranta Swami Tanamane Namaste Sarasvatam Deve Gauravani Pacharane Nirvi Shesha Srinivadi Paskya Dhyade Satarane. The Krishna Consciousness Movement is to help us become Krishna conscious. And of course, generally speaking, we are used to dealing with things that have beginnings, middles, and ends. And therefore, when we think about becoming Krishna conscious, we think that there is a time when we're going to actually be Krishna conscious, and that's it. But that's not how things work, because even one becomes as exalted as Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, or other personalities, even liberated personalities, even great devotees, they cannot find the limit to Lord Krishna's glories. Therefore, we're on a path of gradually just becoming conscious of Krishna, and then after become conscious of Krishna, to develop love for Krishna, and after developing love for Krishna, then life actually begins again, and there is no end to actually the existence. Śrīla Rūpa Gosvāmī has given us the stages of becoming conscious again and coming to our normal platform from Shraddha to Prema, beginning from a little faith that there is something called God. There is a God. And that in the association of devotees, mach chita mach kata prana bodhi antash parashvaram katayantashamam nityam tushanti charamanti cha. Then we talk about our experiences and how we obtain those experiences. What is the science of becoming conscious of Krishna? Those who are the most expert, they're said to be Ramanti, situated in transcendental ecstasy, or at least enjoying the rasa of love of God. And those who are not so advanced, Tushanti, they have experience. They have knowledge of how to elevate oneself, at least to a higher platform of consciousness and some experience of Krishna. Prabhupada mentions this in the Adi Lila 147, that there are two different types of gurus. One of them is situated in transcendence, and their vision is objective. Objective means that whatever it says in the scripture, that's actually what they're seeing. The other is the devotees who are acting as instructors, gurus, but they're not completely situated in transcendence, and therefore they cannot see things so clearly, but still they have advancement in devotional service, and therefore they can explain to others how they can also at least come to their platform. Prabhupada writes, the acharya in the true sense of the term, who's authorized to deliver Krishna, enriches the devotees with full spiritual knowledge and thus awakens them to the path of Krishna consciousness, of devotional service. In any case, everyone has, who are participating in devotional service, has some degree of realization, because Krishna, he's not a dead stone. He actually reciprocates with his devotees. And as much faith as we have that Krishna reciprocates with us, then we'll actually try to reciprocate with Krishna. It's not that if there is some fault in the reciprocation, it's because, as they say colloquially, Krishna is asleep at the wheel. He just doesn't know who I am. He doesn't know what I'm doing. He doesn't know my sincerity. Therefore, maybe someday he'll wake up and then I'll become Krishna conscious. But that's not how things work. Actually, Krishna is completely conscious in ways that we can never even imagine. But it's up to us to have faith in Krishna, to rely upon him. Chaitasya sarva karmani, maya sanyasi matparaha, buddhi yogam upashitya mashitak satatam bhava. Krishna advises us that in all activities, depend upon him and work under his protection. In such devotional service, we are supposed to become fully conscious of him. Of course, our training ground, sadhana bhakti, is generally performed in the temple, especially the part where we're hearing about Krishna, is Bhagavad Vidhi and Pancharatrika Vidhi. So the Pancharatrika Vidhi, chanting our rounds, hearing about Krishna's glories in the temple, worshiping the deity. And then we're supposed to go out and preach Krishna's glories, act throughout the whole day, trying to expand Krishna's glories. And then come back in the evening and hear about Krishna again. Therefore, we're supposed to be fully conscious of Krishna all the time. Of course, generally speaking, we expect that, well, as long as we're doing some kind of devotional service, regulated devotional service, there'll be some degree of concentration and experience of Krishna. But, first of all, there is a certain background that we're supposed to understand, whether in the temple or outside the temple, everywhere, as Prabhupada writes, is that everything belongs to Krishna. So that's easy to think, well, I already know that. Unfortunately, it's not so easy to remember that. Because we're already in a conception that I am this body and that I'm free to use this body as I'd like. Or I am the mind, I'm free to think about whatever I like. Or I am the intelligence, I'm free to see the world as I like it. But that's not reality. The fact is that there is a reality that we may not be accepting or even theoretically, what to speak of seeing. And it is not that every thought that comes to my mind is necessarily divine and is going to elevate me to a higher platform of experience or understanding. And therefore, we have to understand that certain thoughts we can accept and certain thoughts we should become detached from. Similarly, there are certain activities which will elevate us and certain activities which will bring us to a lower platform of consciousness. And it is up to us to, first of all, understand that the body belongs to Krishna. It's not our body, free to do whatever we want, free to think of whatever we like, or free to see things as we like to see them. What to speak of everything else out there in this world? That everything else out there actually is Krishna's. And therefore, without remembering that, then how is it possible to be Krishna conscious? We have to probably give the example, just like the cashier in the bank, he may be counting millions of dollars, but he doesn't consider even one penny himself, belonging to himself. Then the next thing is, everything is Krishna's, including my body, my mind, my words, my perception of things. If everything is supposed to belong to Krishna, then how am I supposed to utilize things in Krishna's service. What does he want me to do at every moment? So Prabhupada says that if one acts according to Krishna's directions in this book, as well as the representative of Krishna, then the result will be the same. And although Krishna was, Prabhupada said this word, matparha, is very important in this verse, that one should have no goal in life, save and accept, act in Krishna consciousness just to satisfy Krishna. And while working in such a way, one should think of Krishna only, that I've been appointed to discharge this particular duty by Krishna, and I'm doing it just to please him. Then one will naturally think of Krishna. And Prabhupada writes, that is perfect Krishna consciousness. Now, if one does something whimsically, that kind of activity cannot be offered in the service of Krishna. That order of Krishna comes down through the disciple succession from the bona fide spiritual master, and therefore one gets a bona fide spiritual master and acts according to his instructions, then one's success in life and Krishna consciousness is guaranteed. In other words, we're trying to realize Krishna. We're not trying to become rich or famous or peaceful or happy or secure or anything else. We're trying to become Krishna conscious. Therefore, we're hearing from the devotees according to what realizations they have of Krishna's glories and try to understand how that applies to me and how it can be put into practice. Therefore, our relationship with the devotees is supposed to be strictly according to our desire to make advancement in Krishna consciousness. So, Srila Rupa Goswami has said that that relationship with others ultimately will determine whether we're making advancement in Krishna consciousness or not. And since understanding Krishna's glories depends strictly upon loving exchanges with others, loving exchanges doesn't mean going up to everyone and kissing them or hugging them. That's not what loving exchanges means. It means the attitude of service, trying to help others become Krishna conscious. If we look at anyone and we're not thinking of how we're trying to help them become Krishna conscious, then we'll automatically be thinking of how to exploit them or how they're useless for my exploitation. Therefore, there are six loving exchanges. Srila Rupa Goswami mentions Dadati Pratigrinati Guyamakiti Prichiti Bungde Bojayate Chaiva Shadvidam Priti Lakshana. Offering gifts in charity, accepting charitable gifts, revealing one's mind and confidence, and hearing from others, offering prasad and accepting prasad, that these are the loving exchanges. And we have to be able to discriminate to whom we should exchange loving exchanges and how to properly exchange those loving exchanges. So those who are chanting the holy name, Srila Rupa Goswami says, at least within our mind we should offer respects, that they're glorifying Krishna, however imperfectly they may be following the process, but because they're glorifying Krishna, I should avoid offending them, and at least I should try to offer them respects with at least within the mind. And for those who are initiated, which means that they're following strictly the vows, especially the regular principles, and they're engaged in trying to serve Krishna, I should cooperate with them. And for those who are advanced in undeviated devotional service and whose hearts are devoid of the propensity to criticize others, I should hear from them and try to follow their instructions so that I can also come at least to the level of realization and inspiration that they have. That's the process. And there's no end to it. It's not that I'll get to a point, well, finally I've gotten where this devotee's at, and I don't need them anymore. I've gotten to the point where I've understood Krishna. I don't even need the process of Krishna consciousness anymore. Just like one devotee in L.A., he inherited $25 million. He went to collect the $25 million. And then after collecting the $25 million, he sent back his Japa beads and his books and his dhotis and said, I don't need these things anymore. I've realized Krishna's glories. No, even we come up to the level of prema, which is inconceivable, even the platform of nishta, where one is not disturbed anymore by anarthas, one is constantly engaged in devotional service, because even there may be some anarthas present, they don't deviate one, they don't distract one from performing service either with one's body, one's mind, or one's conception of life is steady. One constantly is remembering that everything is meant for Krishna's service. What to speak of Ruchi, where every time we chant Krishna's name, we're experiencing Krishna's presence, and we're feeling Krishna's presence, seeing Krishna's presence everywhere, or at least feeling Krishna's presence everywhere. And then asakti, when the mind is so fixed in remembering Krishna's pastimes, that one cannot, even for a moment, we forget that this world is part of Krishna's pastimes, and we're remembering Krishna's pastimes as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, or Krishna's pastimes in Vrindavan, or Mathura, or Dwarka. Even for a moment we forget those pastimes, immediately the mind goes back. It's so much attracted to Krishna, it can't live without Krishna, just like a fish cannot live without water. And what to speak of bhava, where one's body is constantly trembling out of ecstasy of remembering Krishna. One is constantly experiencing different varieties, sattvika bhava, vyabhichari bhava, anubhava, vibhava, sattvika bhava, sanchari bhava, stayi bhava. One is constantly feeling ecstasy at every moment. Just by associating with Krishna, his experience is so intense. In his association with Krishna, practically speaking, his body is trembling in ecstasy, tears are ready to come from his eyes, his body is changing colors, sometimes he's being stunned. And that's just one ray of prema, of the sun of prema. And then prema is the beginning of life, real life, which is advanced at prema, sneha, pranaya, mana, pranaya, raga, anuraga, mahabhava, mahabhava, and different types of mahabhava. So, if we think, I already figured Krishna consciousness out, I read the Bhagavad Gita so many times, I already know what's in it, why should I bother reading this again? It's just going to tell me the same thing I know already. Of course, Sanjaya, when he was remembering Bhagavad Gita, he was in ecstasy, more and more his hair was standing on it. So I guess when we read Bhagavad Gita and our hair, whatever is left of it, stands on end, then we can say, well, I've understood a little bit. I'm gradually getting there. Otherwise, we should understand, what is my position? Brahma Bhuta Prasanatma Nishoshiti Nakankshati Samaksarveshu Bhuteshu Madhvaktim Labhate Param. When one just gets to the platform to understand that we're not the body, then he's always joyful. So, who amongst us has realized completely the difference between their bodies and themselves? Who is never at all hankering and lamenting? Who's always seeing every living entity equally? Oh, at least one person here. So at least, but even that may be true. Still, then one is qualified to actually begin devotional service. From that platform, real devotional service begins. And by that devotional service, one can enter into understanding Krishna. In the verse, Yesham antikatam papam jananam punya karmanam te dvanva mohanir muktva bhajante mam rida vritaha. For those who have acted piously in previous lives and in this life, whose sinful actions are completely eradicated and are free from the dualities of delusion, engage themselves in my service with determination. So that determination, Prabhupada said, begins, or he says, those who are foolish, those who are sinful, those deceitful, those who are atheistic, they cannot even begin the process of understanding Krishna. But those who have passed their lives following the regular principles of religion, who have acted piously, who have conquered sinful reactions, can accept devotional service and rise up to pure knowledge of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Then one can actually remain in trance in Krishna consciousness. So rising up to this pure knowledge of the Personality of Godhead after accepting devotional service, when we can actually understand Krishna, so that means we should always be humble. That right now we're not situated in our normal position. We're in a disease condition. That much humility we have to have. And therefore we should not be proud and puffed up over my accumulated whatever position I may have obtained. Even having the human form of life or whatever opulence we may think or imagine that we have. We should remain humble that this is simply an opportunity to serve Krishna, to learn the process of serving Krishna, so we can always be in the mood of service and therefore gradually make progress towards understanding pure knowledge of Krishna, actually accepting devotional service and awakening our experience of Krishna, so we can come to the platform of anartha nivritti, nishta, ruchi, asakti, bhava, prema, and then begin real life. Be able to meditate in trance constantly upon the Personality of Godhead in pure love and ecstasy. Therefore, although here we find the Prachetas are a little humble, how much more humble must we be, should we be, compared to them? Who amongst us can stand under water for 10,000 years, meditating on Krishna, trying to do it for 5 seconds? And they're humble. They're thinking how much we've realized Krishna. So how much we have realized Krishna, we have to understand scientifically this process, try to systematically, to the best of our capacity, put it into our practice in our lives, and always remain meek and humble, trying to understand Krishna, praying that we can get some experience, some association with Krishna, and therefore gradually come back to our normal life again. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions? Yes.
Thank you, Maharaj, for a very comprehensive class. It felt like a seminar packed into 30 minutes. Thank you. I do have a question. Here in the purport it says that even the great personalities like Manu, Lord Brahma, and Lord Shiva can't understand the glories and potencies of the Lord completely. And then in the purport, Prabhupada says, but even those in the darkest of ignorance, the region, darkest regions of existence, they're allowed to offer prayers to the Lord according to their own capacity. So if even the great personalities like Lord Brahma, Manu, Shiva, they can't really understand the glories and potencies of the Lord correctly, it's kind of understandable or reasonable to assume that people in the darkest regions of existence won't be able to understand them properly or understand them at all for that matter. But so my question is this, like, you know, what about people who are outside of Krishna consciousness who are worshiping the Lord? They're praying. I mean, you know, they might be eating meat and they're breaking every regulative principle and engaging in all kind of sinful activities, but they are definitely praying. I mean, you know, there's praying. That much they're doing. So do they come under this category? I mean, are they sort of like under the umbrella of that verse, Mamhi Partha Vyapasvitya Yepisuna Papayonaya? You know, that verse that Prabhupada quotes about the Vaishyas, the Sudras, and the women and so forth and so on. Are they kind of under the umbrella of that verse? Or is that something totally different? You know, do they get any benefit from what they're doing, or where are they at?
Of course. Anyone who approaches Krishna gets some benefit.
Even if they have no proper idea of who he is.
Yeah, just like Gajendra, he had a problem with his foot. And therefore he was praying to Krishna to help him. Now, he could have called for a chiropractor, could have called for a fisherman or someone. deep sea diver to come and help him, but he prayed to the Supreme. He didn't even know who the Supreme was. And the Supreme Krishna came in the form of Vishnu and saved him. So sometimes people may not know who Krishna is, but because they know that there's some Supreme and they pray to the Supreme, Krishna is aware of that. Krishna is completely aware of everyone's sincerity. And he knows how to reciprocate with them. It's not that Krishna needs an email, you know, he needs someone to take a test to find out what they, you know, what they're actually, a psychological test to find out what their motivations are. He knows exactly everything. Yes.
Would you say that there's always going to be a certain percentage or whatever population that's always going to be demoniac?
Well, Krishna says that.
But I mean, are there going to be the same spirit soul? In other words, is there going to be a spirit soul that's a demon now and then has to go through all the different stages and then they'll still remain like a demon?
I mean, if there are demons, demonic,
yeah,
spirit
I mean, like,
soul?
You know, sometimes the Christians, they have the philosophy of you're going to burn in hell forever. You know, so are we saying in the Krishna conscious philosophy that if you've never had a chance to do any bhakti, or if you've never had a chance to take some prasadam or meet a pure devotee of the Lord, and you're, you know, in ignorance and you're demoniac in your activities, you know, you're accruing all that karma over and over. So does that mean that, is there any opportunity, a chance for that soul?
Well, Bhagavad Gita Krishna says, Sharira yadavapnoti yat shapvi kramati shraha grihit vaitani samyati vayora ganda ivashya. These living entities carry their different conceptions of life from one body to another, just like the air carries aroma. Unless they quit one kind of body and again accept another one. So according to that verse, actually the soul is always transcendental, which Krishna also says in Bhagavad Gita. It's not that the soul is demoniac, but his conception of life may be good or bad or a mixture of both. Just like air is always pure, but by association, if it passes over a rose garden, then it smells very nice. And if it passes through garbage, then it smells very, very foul. So the air is always the same, but due to association, sometimes it appears to be sweet and sometimes it appears to be foul. Similarly, the soul is always the same, but due to association with the modes of nature, sometimes it appears to be demoniac, and sometimes it appears to be good, and sometimes it becomes transcendental. It's all due to association.
Okay, so if one's associating constantly with the bad elements, the bad order, does that mean that they're going to be like that since for time immemorial?
It's a long time, time immemorial. How is it possible? That's not... No. Everyone's sometimes getting good association, bad association, or a mixture. So that's time immemorial is a long time.
Yeah, so that's my point. So you're saying that soul will never go back to Godhead?
Well,
in other words, the point being
is
the soul going to ever go back to Godhead? In other words, okay, so the soul...
Eventually, everyone will go back to Godhead. But it may take a long time. Just like, for instance, if you're in prison you did something wrong, you're in prison for 10 years. And someone says, well, why don't you stay for another 200 years? You know, you'll get out anyhow. Why worry about it? No, if they open up the gate, someone opens the gate, why don't you get out now? And they say, well, I can get out in 200 years.
So does that mean just in this life, then who cares? I mean, eventually I go back to Godhead. Let me just, in this life, enjoy sense gratification.
Like that, if you think like that, that's up to you. Better to get out immediately, though.
Okay, but if I don't know...
Just like we may be eternal, but now we're eternally suffering.
Well, let's party.
Go. Yeah, let's party. But the question is, where is the real party?
Well, I don't really care because sooner or later I'm going to go back to the original place I came from.
I know.
So what do I care if it's East LA, West LA, New York, Fifth Avenue? What's the difference? Why not just go anywhere and just do whatever
I
want?
Well, if you're wondering what the difference is, then just join the kirtan party for a while. And you'll find out what the difference is.
Well, just come to a rock and roll concert with me. I'll show you something.
Unfortunately, most of us have been there already.
Thank you for a nice class. Bhrigupati's question reminds me of a gentleman that I met at the airport, and he was an Indian man. When I was trying to give a book, he said, "Oh, I know about Krishna." And then I said, "Oh, really? Where do you learn about Krishna?" He says, "Well," his answer was, "Well, don't think that Krishna is being just presented in ISKCON. Outside ISKCON also we were learning about Krishna." I didn't say that, but he just came back with that. And yesterday, Giriraj Maharaj was giving a nice class, and there were so many questions, and other people were asking him how to present Krishna consciousness to the non, you know, people who have different beliefs or religions. And he basically said that, you know, that one has to recognize, you know, somebody's where they're at. And because in everybody's path, there's some bhakti there too. So if somebody's worshiping, you know, Allah, or chanting the name of Allah, or Jesus, or like that, well, if they're happy, then good. But if you don't have any other name, then come and chant Hare Krishna.
One more question. Yes.
I was wondering if for like a like someone who was coming to Krishna consciousness, since you know like everyone has like dirty hearts from the cycle of birth and death and coming back and forth to this material world and whatever, when he starts Krishna consciousness, he might not have like a strong faith. So like, how will he like develop faith and not want to?
Well, just Prabhupada said, stay in the association of devotees and do what they're doing. They've developed faith, so if you associate with them and follow their instructions and example, then you'll develop faith too. Experience. Faith means experience. Devotees have gotten experience by following the process, and we want the same experience, and we just follow them and follow the process. So we'll stop there. Thank you very much. Granthara Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Gaur Premanande Hari Bol.